God is so good. He is so good. He loves us so much. You know, if we could even, you know, we just really need to pray for that revelation to get an understanding of how much God loves us. And that then you'd understand why he'll withhold nothing good. Whatever it is that you need, he'll withhold nothing good, because just like you desire for your children to have the best, whatever their needs are, you know, even if they're naughty, all they got to do is just come back in and you just want to shower blessings on them. That's how the Father is. He just loves us. So I just want you to get into a heart set and a mindset tonight that you are here to receive whatever it is that you need tonight. Don't let the enemy, and don't even let maybe some wrong belief systems that you have within you. You know, and a definite wrong belief system would be that it's not always God's will to heal you. And it's not always God's will to deliver you. And it's not always God's will to meet every need. It is always his will. Everything we would ever need was paid for on the cross. And we have sat in churches for years and years and years that have built negative mindsets within the church and made God look like he's a worse parent than what we are. You know, and we think God would do things to us that many, many times we would never do that to our children. And he's a much greater father than any, a parent than any of us could be. You know, so when we, I think, I don't know which one of them said that, but when we, every time condemnation or anything negative of condemning, it's not from the Lord. Because God doesn't condemn us. He made us righteous. He took all of our condemnation. So we wouldn't have to be condemned. And the Bible says there's no, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ. And we are in Christ. So unless you have not received Jesus, which you can do very, very easily tonight, but if you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are so positioned to receive all that belongs in the covenant to you. Now I'm going to have Tim put those pictures up. But Tim, start with the worst one and gradually go up through, okay? We've been talking about walking out of captivity, and that's a heart, a person's life that is so broken. And a lot of us start out in those places, and then you, now he redid them so you can even see the little guy in there. And a lot of times that's us. We are so shattered on the inside from things that have happened in our lives that we become prisoners within. We're like a prisoner that's locked in a prison cell. But God wants you free. The Bible says he came to set the captives free, didn't it? Those who are in prison, to release them. Okay, go to the next one, Tim. Okay, there you see a person. Now this is, you know, it could be a person that was maybe just had a few really bad things happen to them in their life, and so they probably only had maybe some, maybe shattering. Or it could be a person who's in the process of healing. Amen? And so they have begun to deal with the issues, the brokenness that's in their lives. They've dealt with places of captivity in their lives. And they're walking into a place to attain wholeness all the way. And then put up the last one. And this is you. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! That is a healed heart, whole in the kingdom of God. And that's God's intention for us, that one right up there. That no matter how broken you are, no matter what's happened to you in your life, that can be you. Because that's what was paid for on the cross, right there. You see, so one of it we should get a belief system that we are going to pursue that, because he paid for that. So Lord, let not one thing that you suffered on the cross be in vain in my life, but let me pursue it all, That every single thing, and I might not know all that I need to know right now, but I keep walking towards it and I keep pressing till I lay hold of the prize. Amen? You know, and that's why, you know, a lot of times deliverance in your life is progressive, because you've got to learn sometimes how to lay hold of things. Sometimes you have to learn how to let go. You have to learn how to let go of your pain. You have to learn to let go of your rejection. You have to learn to let go of the bitterness and the worthlessness and the rejection. And you've got to learn how to let go of those things. You've got to realize that it's sin to hold on to these things. You know, if somebody lies, you know, we know, oh my goodness, we've lied, that's a sin, blah, 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 blah. Well, keep holding to your rejection. When it was paid for on the cross, it says he was rejected. That's what the Bible says in Isaiah 53. He was rejected of men. Why was he rejected of men? So we could be accepted in the beloved. Amen? Hallelujah. Let me read you Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me, the anointed one, the Messiah, to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to send forth delivered those who are oppressed, downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity. And that first picture definitely shows someone who has been in captivity, who is oppressed, downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken. But as we saw, Jesus came to deliver and set free the captives and to heal them and to bring them. It says that by his wounds we are healed and made whole. That's complete. Wholeness. Nothing missing, nothing broken. And see, when the church begins to allow Jesus, when we come into that knowledge that wholeness is his will for our lives, and we begin to press in and lay hold of that, it's not about how bad you think you were, but it's about how good Jesus is. Amen. That's what this is about. He became sin for us. So it's not about how much we've sinned. It's not about how many mistakes we've made. It's not about how big of a mess we are or how dysfunctional we are. It's about Jesus paid for it all so that we could be whole. And we can come out of the dysfunction. We can come out of all these areas, but it's your responsibility as a believer to begin to start laying hold of all that he has for you. Just like, you know, you were a sinner out in the world, and Jesus paid for your sins 2,000 years ago, but it did not become yours till you laid hold of his redemption in your life. But that was just the beginning. Once you lay hold of redemption, then you need to begin to lay hold of the healing, the provision, the freedom he has for you. Jesus didn't die just to save you, but he died to bring you into the fullness of your redemption. If all Jesus died for was your sins, then all he would have done on the cross would have had sin piled on him. But he didn't. The Bible says he was beaten. He was bruised. He bore our shame. He bore our guilt. And by his wounds, we are healed. You see, so he died for so much more. So tonight, we're going to lay hold of these things. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. All you got to do is position yourself to get what God has for you tonight, because it is so easy. Healing's easy. All of it's easy. It's not hard. God didn't make it hard. Because if he did, we couldn't lay hold of it. Just like salvation. Salvation is so simple. Amen? It is so simple. It's just you saying yes. You know, when I got saved, I didn't pray a big prayer. I just said, okay. I did. I said, okay. He said, Bev, if you will come, I will minister to you. I will help you. And I said, okay. That's it. Okay, I'll do it. And I got saved. Was just saying yes to Jesus, you know, because I decided I couldn't be a Christian. Because first, when somebody asked me, I said, oh yeah, I'm a good person. But when it came right down to it, I knew within myself I couldn't. But when he said, if you come, I'll help you. I'll help you. All I had to do was say, okay, it was that simple. Amen. We began to talk about last week, about the prophetic, and what I want you to do is get an idea of the fact that right now, if and it doesn't make a difference whether you can see it or not, we are as much in the spirit realm in this room here as we are in this natural realm, the physical realm, because the spirit realm is just as real as this visible realm. The invisible is as real as the invisible. Now, the proof of that is this. Do you believe God is here? Do you believe Jesus is here? Do you believe the Holy Spirit is here? Do you believe this room is filled with the angels of God? Can you see them? But we know, because we know that this invisible realm is as real as this natural realm, okay? Now, I'm saying that because we are going to walk into this invisible realm, because it's right here just as much as the natural realm is, and we're going to take people out of places where the enemy has held them captive. But it goes all back to you deciding by a choice of your will. See, the devil cannot hold you in captivity if you don't want to be there, and you will not let him keep you there. Because God has made you to have a will and the ability to choose and the ability to get up out of captivity and come out. And the reason you can do that is because the devil has already been defeated. He's already been brought to nothing. Okay, he's already been disarmed. So he really doesn't have weapons that he can legally operate against you when you choose to not allow him. Okay? So that's what I want you to kind of get a mindset, is that this is the night that I can be free. I don't have to stay in this place. All right? And we're going to talk about a little bit about the prophetic anointing, but in this prophetic anointing is one of the ways that you access into the spirit realm. The prophetic anointing helps us understand the spirit realm. And I'm going to really just try to read a lot of information to you tonight so I can get to the end and explain to you how you can walk out of this place, like what we saw at the beginning, a place of brokenness into a place of wholeness. Okay? Okay, the prophetic anointing occurs in a different realm than ours. In other words, the spiritual realm. It is the entrance to the invisible kingdom of God. It's the instrument used by God to make the kingdom of God visible, audible, and palatable. The prophetic anointing allows us to penetrate the kingdom and extract from it riches of wisdom and knowledge. And we need to always remember that if I can step into the spirit realm and take captives free. Now, every time we do deliverance, and we're doing deliverance all the time, anytime we go in and we deal with a demonic force, we have stepped or accessed into that spirit realm. We've encountered works of darkness, and we've enforced the victory of Calvary and removed them. So I want you to know that is a common thing to access the spirit realm. We're doing it a whole lot more than what we think we are. When you pray in tongues, by the way, folks, you've accessed the spirit realm. Okay, so I want you to know this is a whole lot more normal than what we think it is. But if we can go into the spirit realm to destroy works of darkness, get captives free, you can also access into the kingdom of God to lay hold of what you need. You see, and we need to begin to understand in the kingdom of God is healing, deliverance, provision, everything the covenant provides. And we just said he's here. If he's here, the kingdom of God is here. You see, so we need to realize that by faith, and we do it by faith, we can lay hold of what God has for us. Okay, the Old Testament prophets experienced this dimension, and that's literally accessing the invisible realm, the kingdom of God. They access this dimension through the prophetic. Some of them penetrated it, being caught away as Ezekiel. Ezekiel was caught up into that when he saw the temple of God and the holy city. Daniel was lifted between heaven and earth to receive the vision of the beast. See, so this is Going into the spirit realm has always, God has always allowed man to access that. Through the Old Testament, you'll see it spasmodically, but in the New Testament, once Christ died and paid for our sins, that veil was removed. The veil that was between God and man that came in the Garden of Eden when there was sin, so that has been removed. It was ripped. And so no longer are we held back from the Lord, but we can access the kingdom of God. And we can access he said that if you will boldly come, that we should boldly come to the throne of grace to find mercy, or to the throne of God to find mercy and grace and help in time of need. So he says, come on, access, just come right to my throne to receive your help. How many of you know that when you're accessing, you're going to the Lord in prayer, you know, petitioning him for help, you've accessed into that invisible realm of the kingdom of God. So tonight we're going to access, we're going to actually operate in this invisible realm in order to come out of some places of darkness. And know this, that the angels of the living God are here. They hearken unto the word of God. So when we declare the word of God, they're going to hearken to that word. And the Bible also says, are they not all ministering spirits, fire, flames of fire, sent to minister to the heirs of salvation? You see, when we begin to believe by faith for these things, we will see these things begin to happen in our life. We need to begin to believe God for the kingdom of God to be made manifest. We need to expect it. So here we see prophets in the Old Testament experiencing the kingdom of God, experiencing this invisible realm. Moses was taken to extraordinary dimensions in which he received the revelation of the genesis of creation. The book of Hebrews says that God has prepared something even better for us. So if these Old Testament prophets can do this, look what we can do as we begin to allow the Holy Spirit to live in us. You know, the Holy Spirit desires to operate in every single one of us. It's not a few of us. He desires that every single one of us operate in the Spirit, because there are many, many, many captives that need to be set free. There are people who need to be brought into the kingdom of God. So he wants us to be able to access in that. And, you know, it is so fun when, and we have this happening really on a very regular basis anymore in the deliverance ministry, where we go in and pray and the Holy Spirit, literally the word of knowledge, operates constantly, just absolutely constantly, where we're being able to go in and know exactly what we need to target in the spirit realm. But why is that? Because the more we've done this, we expect it. We've asked for it. We expect it. We know that we need these gifts to operate, to accomplish God's purpose. You see, so it's not about us. It's about the fact that God wants the person free. So the availability of these gifts are here for us to use. So we should be learning how to use them. I always tell people, you don't learn how to speak in tongues. You learn how to yield to the Holy Ghost. See, and the more you yield to him, the more easily it becomes to you. The more we begin to operate and step out by faith in these various giftings of the Holy Spirit, he'll move in you and you'll learn how to flow in those things. You see? So the reason he brings us out of captivity from what we just looked up at here and brings us into that place of wholeness, of that place of where we're going to access the destiny that God has for us, is because God wants us to lay hold of our destiny in order to operate in this mighty army in the end times with nothing broken within us. That's going to be a powerful army, isn't it? So you see why it is important that we deal with issues in our lives so that we can be strong on the inside. Okay, so in the book of Hebrews, it says that God has prepared something even better for us. God wants to give us greater things than he gave the Old Testament prophets. The apostles understood this dimension because they penetrated the kingdom of God. The union of heaven and earth through Jesus Christ was their daily experience. Kingdom of God, come. Will of God, be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, the kingdom of God coming into full operation on this earth. The more you keep hearing these kind of things, faith cometh by hearing. We're going to begin to operate in these realms. In the book of Acts, Philip was translated from one place to another in both spirit and body. That's in Acts chapter 8. The same thing happened to Peter when he was taken prisoner by Herod. In prison, he fell into a deep sleep, and he saw an angel who came to rescue him. Both of them translated through the prison because there was no way they could walk through bars, walk through walls, lest God translate both of them through the prison. And it was as if it looked like a vision, but they literally walked through the walls. They actually literally were translated. And if the Lord's telling us that we are ready to go into this latter rain, and the latter rain was even going to be greater than this, than the early rain, my, can we expect to go places? Can we expect to do things in the kingdom of God? It's awesome, isn't it? It is so fun when you start doing these things. Hallelujah. I haven't done that yet, though, by the way, but that don't mean I won't go someplace where God catches me up and sends me off. Very first time I prophesied, I think, to Brian, you know how Norma, in the very beginning, she had us get in these little circles, and then she said, okay, she gave you a few seconds, said, shift, and then you had to prophesy to the next person, and you're going, oh, no, I don't know how to do this. How many of you ever had her do that to you? And you're going, ah. Well, the very first time I did it, what happened to me was so, I did not expect it. I turned around, and I looked at Brian Bridges, he was my person, and I looked at him, and I began to weep, and he looked at me, and he began to weep. I mean, we're looking at each other weeping, and I said to him, you're a prophet, and I told him God was going to translate him. It was something else, wasn't it? And then Norma said, shift, and it was like we couldn't shift, because that was how powerful the Spirit of the Lord came on us. But you know what? He is going to do those things. Why? For our fun benefit? No, but for the kingdom of God to be made manifest in this earth. For men and women to come into the kingdom. Isn't that awesome? Oh, my goodness. For God's people to come out of captivity and come back into a place of wholeness where no more the enemy is going to be able to torment and dictate to you how your life as a believer is going to be, but you're going to be able to rise up victorious in Christ. That's what it's about. And you getting free so you can go out and continue to manifest the kingdom of God on this earth. You know, my husband got a letter today from a young man that used to work for him, and the young man is in prison, and he said to my husband, he said, I know you go to church. That's the way he said it. Basically, he said, I know you're a Christian. And he said, I have come to the end of myself. And he asked my husband to help him, and he's in prison way down in southern Illinois. We're going to go there. Isn't that awesome? What an opportunity to go and manifest the kingdom of God. You know, and the more that you become where you are like that person up there where you just keep getting freer and freer and wholer, more whole, then literally the kingdom of God that within you is able to pour out to others. That's what it's about. We will, the world, the earth is waiting for the manifestation of the sons and the daughters of God. The earth is waiting on us. Waiting on us. Okay. Paul was taken to the third heaven. Now, again, this is talking about accessing into this invisible realm. Paul was taken to the third heaven. He didn't know whether he was in his body or outside his body. John was taken in the spirit to see the unfolding of the book of Revelation, in which heaven and the depths of hell were revealed to him. And I'm going to be talking about this a little bit later. John saw both realms of heaven, and he saw the realms of darkness, the realms of hell. So there's realms in both places. I shared in the beginning how it talks about those places in plurality. The book of Acts did not end in the first century. It continues to be written through those who believe God and have penetrated and do penetrate the kingdom of God. The books are still open and the books are still being written. God's not done. He hasn't closed the books. Okay, how do we do this? We can access literally by following the example of John and those who practice being in the Spirit. We just need to get into the Spirit of God. And, you know, we sometimes think, well, how do I do that? Well, if you're a born-again, Spirit-filled believer, it's a lot easier than you think it is. See, the devil wants to make you think it's hard. And your reasoning, your belief system wants to make you think that it's hard to get in the Spirit realm, but it's easy. Let me say that again. It is simple. You know, once you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it's so simple to open up your mouth and begin to pray in other tongues. Amen? And it's just as easy once we begin to learn how to access into the prophetic, access into these other giftings that God has, to just position yourself. And God wants us to begin to do that again because he's wanting his kingdom manifest on this earth. The kingdom of God, okay, let me back up. Being in the Spirit is a state of intimacy with God through which the spirit of man is sensitive to the presence of God. And this is the position from where revelations and visions of the heavenly kingdom are seen in full. The kingdom of God is among us, where there's only like a thin, transparent membrane that separates us. When we know God, then through faith, we can literally access into these realms. The Apostle John experienced extraordinary trances in which he saw Jesus in his glory. John was not only taken to the third heaven, but he was taken to regions of the kingdom of darkness. Likewise, the more we experience heaven and are used to inhabiting its reality, the greater revelations that we will have. And we will have even about the secret places of our enemy. So the more we should be on purpose accessing God's kingdom. We should by on purpose be spending time daily in prayer in the Spirit, decreeing and declaring the word, going out and praying for other people. You see what I'm saying? Coming, even like if you come on a Tuesday night prayer meeting, then what you are doing is you are coming to access the kingdom of God to deliver the goods to all those prayer people or all those needs. Okay? See, so we're really doing it more than we realize, but you need to come with that kind of a mindset that I am coming to deliver kingdom goods into the hands of those that need them through my accessing into the realm of the Spirit through prayer. Okay? It's really easier than what we think it is. You see, you have not because you ask not. Okay? So if I have not because I ask not, does that mean that if I ask, then I can have it? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. So we should ask and we should expect. John saw spiritual regions while being in God's presence, and then he was taken to heaven in order to see what was to happen in the future. In Revelation 13, John sees one spiritual region after another, starting with the sea. This was not an ocean on earth, but a spiritual ocean. And you should read through that because it's really interesting when it talks about the sea and different things in the earth, that it's talking about spiritual realms. But so many times we've read this and we thought it was in the natural. Okay, so I'm going to show you the difference of this so you can understand how we can access these realms. It was not an ocean on earth, but a spiritual ocean. And he observed the emergence then of the beast. And note, he was in heaven watching the kingdom of darkness. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You're not sitting way down here on some low, low place. You as a believer are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Whether you can see yourself or not, you should know that that's where you are. Therefore, that's where you operate from. You can't operate down here because you're up here. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Therefore, we have so much more authority to begin to dictate to literally even the realms of darkness that this will be the way it will be, and this will not be the way that it is. You see. Okay, in Revelation 13:1, it says, "And the dragon stood on the shore of the sea, and I saw a beast coming out of the sea. He had 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 crowns on his horns, and each head had a blasphemous name. Everything that the beast does on earth was revealed to John at the sea. Afterwards, he was shown a place between earth and hell in order to see the second beast arrive." And that's in Revelation 13:11. He said, "I saw another beast coming out of the earth. He had 2 horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon." Where was he coming up but out of the depths of the darkness, coming up out of the earth? Revelation 17 says an angel carried John to a place of darkness called the desert, where Satan governs from Babylon. John described this spiritual city as a habitation of demons. We are referred to in Scripture many, many times as cities. You're a city set on a hill, right? We are referred to in that same realm. The hideout, so he's talking here, though, about John describes this spiritual city as a habitation of demons. It is the hideout of every unclean spirit and the lodging of every unclean, clean, and abominable bird. And that's Revelation 2. Revelation 17 says, "One of the 7 angels who had the 7 bowls came and said to me, 'Come, and I will show you the punishment of the great prostitute who sits on many waters.' Then the angel carried me away into the spirit into a desert. There I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was covered with blasphemous names, had 7 heads and 10 horns." So here we see, we've seen water, bodies of water in the spirit. He has seen the desert in the spirit, okay? And in the natural, there are waters and there are deserts in the natural, but those are also in the spirit realm. And again, I want you to understand, because we are going to access the spirit realm tonight. Because you're going to come out of captivity. So it's not weird. It's in the book over and over and over. And you might think, well, why does she keep going on this? It's because I guess when I studied it, I did not realize there's that much of the spirit realm talked about in the Word of God. But he does that. And he likens everything that is on this earth as literally what's going on in the spirit. Okay, another place that he talked about, John, was the abyss or Abaddon, where Satan is imprisoned for 1,000 years and smoke and locusts are released to destroy the earth. That's Revelation 20. We understand that these places are not only very important in the prophetic account of Revelation, but they are active places around us. Thousands of souls are held captive there while Satan carries out his plans of tyranny and destruction. It says, I'm going to skip this one, about the fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and he said, "I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. The star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. When he opened the abyss, smoke rose from it like the smoke of a gigantic furnace." So there we see then that we are dealing with actually also an abyss. Sometime when I have some time, when one of the things that I've learned to do, and I'll explain it, when people cast demons out, you wonder where they go. And there's all sorts of different things that you read in Deliverance on where to send demons. Some people send them to the feet of Jesus, and Jesus doesn't want them at his feet. He said they're going to make them his footstool. Some people send them to the cross. Well, they're not hanging out at the cross, okay? But it talks about being sent into the abyss. And when even the demon of Gadara, when he cast the legion out and they said, "Would you send us into the pigs?" Where did the pigs go? Into the abyss, into the water. Where did, and look up the word abyss. It'll tell you it's water. That's what it says, the bottom of the ocean. Jesus said it would be better for someone who caused a little one to fall. It would be better for them to have a millstone tied around their neck and be dropped to the bottom of the sea. So apparently that is the place where they're locked up, isn't it? So I one time read I used to just send them out to where God wants them to go. So I just send you out where God wants you to go and send them with the angels. But then I did this study, and it was really interesting, and it was by a guy named Paul Bilheimer, which is he's passed on, but he was a tremendous author and teacher in the Word of God. And he talked about the fact that he always sent demons into the abyss. And he said, if you want to agree with that, that's fine. And if you don't, that's fine. And that's the way I feel, you know. But he said that they found, and as he talked about that, the Lord just began to give me scriptures over and over. I think three or four of them, which I'm not going to go into them tonight, but of how when they did send them into the abyss and sealed them there in the name of Jesus, people they cast them out of had less trouble with them after that. They didn't seemingly come back. You see, so that's what we do. We send them into the abyss and seal them there in the name of Jesus and forbid them to come back, you know. And can you seal every demon into the abyss? No, we don't deal with every demon. You know, there's masses out there, folks, whether we like to acknowledge that or not. But okay, seeing spiritual reality was common among the apostles in the book of Acts. The apostle Peter clearly identified spiritual regions where Simon the magician was being held captive. In this case, and that's Acts chapter 8, verse 9 through 23, in this case with the magician named Simon, in this case a vision was not necessary to identify the regions. The Holy Spirit revealed them to Peter through a word of knowledge. So there will be times that you will maybe have a vision, but there's times that the Holy Spirit will just give you a word, and that is a word of knowledge that you know exactly what you're dealing with. And that, again, I said, is something that we are having operate all the time in deliverance anymore. This magician had accepted the Lord. He was baptized Christian and took part in his local church, but he had never been set free. Now, a lot of people just decide from reading that he didn't really accept the Lord. He did. How many people, and when we talk about magic, we're talking occult. And yet how many people come in and accept the kingdom of God, and yet we never walk them through deliverance, and they end up falling back? It's because what was there endeavors to pull them back in, and those spirits will work and work and work to pull that person back in, endeavoring to find them into a weak place. And this is what was going on with the magician, Simon the magician, and he was actually at this time operating out of that spirit of magic that he had been involved in the world. And it says here, this magician had accepted the Lord, was baptized, took part in his church, but had never been set free. His mind was captured. In other words, he was in captivity, like up there in that picture. That is why he committed the mistake of trying to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because in witchcraft, it's customary to buy spiritual services. So he was just operating to what had been the norm for him, but he needed deliverance. And this is what Peter said to him in Acts 8. Peter said to him, destruction overtake your money and you, because you imagined that you could obtain the free gift of God with money. You have neither nor part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is wrong in God's sight. It is not straightforward are true before God. So repent of this depravity of wickedness and pray that the Lord, if possible, this contriving thought and purpose of your heart will be removed and disregarded and forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness. You are in a bond that is forged by the iniquity to fetter souls. So here we look at he was in the gall of bitterness. He was set in a bond forged by iniquity to do what? Fetter souls. So what he's talking about here is this magic, this magician, he endeavored to fetter souls by going out and practicing magic. And if you look up the word fetter, it means to chain, shackle, or to prevent escape. So that's what he was doing through that, which, again, I'm not going to go into this, but imagine what we open ourselves up to then when we participate with witchcraft, even out in the movie realm, you see, because these things are set to fetter the souls of man. And we as believers, we don't need our souls fettered. We need to be free so that, again, the kingdom of God, how does the kingdom of God how is it able to be manifest on the earth if we're bound and unable to be free ourselves? Because the manifestation of the kingdom of God brings freedom, doesn't it? It brings healing. It brings whatever you need. Okay, different regions of soul captivity. I'm just going to go through these kind of fast. There are different regions that a person can be held in captivity. Spiritual prisons, and they're divided into different zones inside the kingdom of evil. The fragmented soul is brought to these regions, which is like what we saw up here, so that the designs and plans of the devil can be manifested in the person's life. A soul may belong to God, be saved or redeemed, yet suffer demonic influence because fragments of the soul are held captive. These conditions can produce, in other words, when there's brokenness, they can produce illness, failure, fear, anguish, breakdowns, areas in a person's life that are not responsive to prayer. And if you've ever prayed for people before, and did you ever do this where you prayed for something and nothing happened? And the person really wanted something to happen. They wanted to be free. They either wanted to be healed or they wanted to come out maybe even out of an area that they were locked in. But no matter how many times you went after it, it was unresponsive to prayer. And the reason for that is because sometimes just trying to cast out a devil out of somebody isn't going to work if, and it does most of the time, but if there's a place in that person's soul that's broken, you have to go and get that person out of that place of captivity because the soul is broken. Okay, and I said this before, psychiatrists and psychologists have explained this to forever. The church ignored it and Jesus heals it because he heals the brokenhearted. And what is the broken heart? It's the soul of man that is broken. You see, so deliverance will remove the demonic, but if you've got a broken soul, that soul has to be taken out of the captivity where it was broken and allow the Lord Jesus Christ to reintegrate that part back in, which we saw in those pictures, bring everything back into wholeness and heal that area. You see, so sometimes when you're praying for someone, especially if there's been a ritual abuse, any type of trauma in a person's life, or actually any type of abuse will fragment a soul. So therefore, sometimes just endeavoring to cast a demon out won't totally help that person. You have to deal with where that person has become captive in that. Okay. So if you find someone that's unresponsive, then you need to stop and find out. And you can learn to discern that, but if there's some brokenness in that person's life. Because Jesus does not ever withhold your freedom, nor does he ever withhold healing from you. There are situations sometimes that can hinder, like this brokenness, okay? Not that God is holding anything against you, but the enemy tries to keep us in a place in our belief system, and a soul that is broke always will have a negative belief system. And they feel that maybe God will help them, but maybe not. These places of captivity exist in an invisible realm. Some can be located over a geographical area. Others are not. There was a young man one time, I may have told this already, but he used to astral project as a teenager. But he dealt with anger. And when we endeavored to just get him delivered from that spirit of anger, it was unresponsive to prayer. See, that would be an example of that. And then he began to share how he had done astral projection, which is really serious witchcraft. And so we had to go in and command the part of his soul that had left his body and been broken to be released. And he could actually, as we were praying for him, he could see himself like locked up out in this realm way out there. He said, I can see myself way out there. And so we commanded the demonic spirits, actually the spirit guide that had helped him to astral project to release him. Then we asked that the angels go and bring that part of his soul back and that Jesus reintegrate him and heal him. And as we prayed that and commanded that spirit of anger then to leave him, that young man just broke and sobbed because he felt like finally he was back together. You know, and that sounds weird, but you know, what the devil does is weird. I mean, he does some really weird things. That's why I'm always stressing we're not going to be weird because the devil's weird enough in us having to deal with these things. We dealt with another person who used to astral project. And when we prayed and also called drugs, by the way, too. When you trip out, same type of thing. And people who do a lot of drugs where they've tripped out, hallucinated, have the same thing as this. But this person said, after we prayed with her and broke the spirits of witchcraft and commanded her soul to be released, she said there were 8 holes on the inside of me and they're no longer there. God filled them back. You see, now that was, oh my goodness, years ago when we first got into deliverance, and I'd never heard of things like that. So as these people would tell us this, we'd be like, oh my goodness, I didn't know this kind of stuff operated out there. But just as we were led by the Holy Spirit, when they'd come with these issues and we would pray with them, but just to go in there and pray directly without dealing with that made it unresponsive. There were things that we needed to know about how the spirit realm operated. The place of darkness is not only a generic name for the devil's empire, it is also a spiritual place. Isaiah 9:2 says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. It says in Matthew 4:12, now when Jesus heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people sat in darkness, but now have seen a great light. And to them which were in the region of the shadow of death, light has sprung up. So there we see kingdoms of darkness, and also where that person was locked into the shadow of death. The land of darkness and the shadow of death that's mentioned in these scriptures was physically located in Zebulun and Naphtali. Jesus identified these regions in that specific zone and not in any other, revealing that every one of the cities of the earth can be ruled by certain areas of Satan's empire. Many other places under this influence of darkness and shadow of death, besides these Galilean cities, were like in Isaiah 9:1. It says, nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was her vexation when at first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun, then the land of Naphtali, and afterward did much more grievously afflict her by way of the sea, Jordan, and the Galilee of the nations. Darkness is established in certain places, creating violence, affliction, anguish, and confusion among people. People whose souls are trapped in these places stumble around as though they were blind. They may live in constant doubt and unbelief because they cannot see. It is, in fact, if you ever wonder why sometimes you as a believer can never seem to do you ever feel like when you endeavor to go with God that sometimes you can go so far and then you just kind of hit a wall? See, that can be what some of that stuff that's operating, things that need to be removed. It can be like a place of captivity because of this darkness, a place of darkness, a place of doubt, a place of unbelief. It's almost like, you know, a plexiglass, kind of a shield that you keep hitting up against when you're trying to access the Lord. I experienced that when years before I was a believer, I went to a fortune teller. At the time I didn't know that they were considered of the devil, but I went to her and I thought she was kind of dumb, really. I mean, and when I say that, I just thought she was hokey. I didn't believe her, to be honest with you. And she actually prophesied, told me that Lou and I would be divorced within, I think, 7 years. My goodness, it's been 40-some years. And so when she said that, I thought, you know, forget that. I knew we'd never get a divorce, you know. We weren't getting along to it, but this just wasn't in our, I guess, DNA to do that. I don't know. But anyway, I didn't believe her, but I still never realized that by my going to her, I allowed myself to be in actually a place of captivity to that. So then years later, when I became a Christian, and I would press to get closer to the Lord, and I'd really feel like it was going, but then it would feel always like I'd go so far and I'd hit this wall. And I would fast, and that helped. but it still was there. And then when Lou and I went for deliverance, and so this guy was asking us all these questions and wanted to know if we'd, you know, ever been to a fortune teller and all this stuff, and I had, and she actually did the tarot card reading with me. He broke that. And when he broke that, that was gone. And I could sense it gone, you see. So we sometimes hit up against things that we don't understand why they're there, but it's something where in the past we allowed ourselves to come into a place of captivity with that. See, God is not angry at you. He's saying, come out. Come out into that place of freedom, because I want you to be able to access my kingdom and freely receive from me. You see? Okay, many situations, let me back up. Okay, these people can grow up in life not knowing where to go, what to do, or what their purpose is. There are people who have repented yet are still in darkness. As far as many situations in their lives, Isaiah 59:10 says, like the blind, we grope along the wall, feeling our way like men without eyes. At midday, we stumble as if it were twilight. Among the strong, we are like the dead. This region could be described as a place full of holes in the ground where people fall into these places because of certain negative situations in their life. They are afflicted and tormented. These are narrow pits of oppression and suffocation. In the natural world, these people can seem or feel dark and oppressed. Everything about them is narrow. Their vision, their way of thinking, even the way they walk and move. If you observe them, they appear bound by invisible cords. Their body language clearly displays captivity. And, you know, after you do deliverance long enough, you can definitely see where people are captive. I'm going to read you a quick story, and then I'm just going to move us right into the end of where I want to go, because I think I've given you enough information that you understand, at least I believe you do, that you can be in captivity. But this is a story that was written by, John Sanford. And they're the people who did the Elijah House years ago. He was praying for a young woman, and when he was praying for her, he was not able to get her free. He actually was, like what I said earlier, dealing with a place where as much as he prayed, it was not responsive. And he talks about this young woman. This is out of his book, Healing of the Wounded Spirit. And he describes an interesting deliverance from regions of darkness. This was a young woman by the name of Jo, and she lived as though she were dead on the inside. John Sanford, after trying every form of deliverance, was led in a vision to a place that the devil held her captive. When I'm talking about that he had tried every form of deliverance, I don't want you to think in any way that I am minimizing deliverance. I don't feel many times you can even access these places of captivity without doing some deliverance first, okay? I prioritize that. But people still have realms where they're in captivity that they've got to come out of that. But he said, after trying every form of deliverance, he had a vision where the Lord showed him where the devil was holding her captive. He said, I saw our wonderful Lord walking down a steeply sloped dark tunnel. He did not carry a torch or lantern. He was himself the light. I followed him. The experience was much like following a car down a narrow lane at night, watching the headlights momentarily shine on the walls of bushes, leaving darkness behind. I watched the light of Jesus illuminate the walls as he passed. We came to a huge dungeon door, ancient and rusted, locked. The door opened by itself. Scripture raced through my mind. Behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and hell. He didn't need to insert a key, for he himself is the key. The door flew open at the authority. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It was confirmed to me in a flash that Jesus meant to speak of the church on attack, not on the defensive, breaking open the walls of hell, the gates of hell, to invade and set captives free. And when Jesus said this, this is what we are to do, that the gates of hell, access points, will not prevail against the church. We were then entering a dungeon of hell, and I knew it. I watched as he walked across the dirty floor. All of hell fled before his presence. There in a corner, huddled in a fetal position, manacled by her wrists and ankles, attached by chains to a wall, was Joe. She appeared ghastly, white and blue, emancipated and starved, tiny as a child. With his beautiful nail-scarred brown hands, he gently broke the shackles off Joe. He picked her up, cradling her softly against his chest, and I thought, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd and gather his lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. I wept for joy at the beauty of it. The Lord carried Joe out of that place. I described out loud for her, because she didn't see this. God had given him the vision. I described to her what I was seeing. Later, she told me that she felt every moment of it in indescribable joy and anticipation. As he carried her, he breathed his own breath into her. Well, Genesis 2:7 and countless scriptures about the wind of the Holy Spirit, as in John 3 and Elisha, when he breathed his breath into the Shunammite woman's dead son, cascaded through my mind. Then he set her on her feet, carrying her left hand in his right hand, and he began to walk her out of the tunnel with her. As they walked, Joe began to grow. He saw her as a little girl, and she began to grow like the Wonder Bread advertisement of many years ago, from a little girl to the grown woman that she is now. And then he passed his hands over her body, and it was as her skin that had been deathly pale began to glow in pink. Now, what was interesting about this was an experience that John Sanford from Elijah House had when he was ministering inner healing to this girl. Every story that I tell you, just about, not everyone, just about, comes from people, I just don't always give names, within our area, not even just congregation, because we minister outside the congregation. But I ministered to a young man that actually goes here, and he had been abandoned by his mother and horrifically beaten by her many, many times. She'd take him back in, and he'd live on the streets, and then he'd be beaten. I had prayed with him, and we had come against a lot of things, woundedness and that. And then I said to him, I said, let's come out of the captivity of this place of abuse and all this abandonment. And I began to walk him out. And I'm going to go how to do this in a little bit. But I began to walk him out. And he said to me, Bev, when you were walking me out, I saw Jesus. And Jesus and I were walking down the road together. And as we walked, the farther we walked, I just kept growing and growing and growing and growing. Just God was bringing him back up to his wholeness, you see. Because that little boy had broken. And God brought him back into fullness of who he was and then grew him up. And we pray that all the time, Lord, grow them up. Because if there's a broken part, many, many times those broken parts stay stunted in that. It's like a stunted behavior. And it was kind of interesting because he described, and I didn't tell him any of this because I'd forgot. I don't know if I'd read this at that time. But you see, we've had people that have talked about when we've walked them out of captivity, coming out of a cave, coming out of a dungeon, coming out of darkness, coming out of these different places. I had another young woman. This is something she wrote down that she experienced. She entitled a poem she wrote called Darkness. And she said, I'm in such captivity. And this is how she felt. She said, the winds howled and the rains came, but I stayed put. The clouds parted and the sun broke and I hid away. I ran from the light. The brightness scared me. I covered my face and built my walls. Embraced by darkness, I fled into the night. Shamed by voices I could no longer see. I took refuge in the seclusion of the shadows. I choked on the smell of death, slipped on slime and stumbled to the floor. Crawling through the muck, I fought to stand. Fear was all around me, his wretched breath shouting in my ear. I reached into the blackness, but despondency afflicted me with his heavy hand. Remorse peered at me with suffering eyes. Like a bull set for the kill, I tried to run, but guilt blocked my way. The haunting laughter plagued my mind. Eternally frozen, I gasped for breath while I suffocated on their presence. My body coiled up like a frightened child, and I was alone, forever alone. This is a person that was in captivity, but is free today. You see, but this is how people many, many times feel when they're in this place of bondage. Okay, how do you set the captives free? Can you hang on for a few more minutes? This is the end of the end, so you need to know how to do this, okay? Okay, how do you set the captives free? Setting the captives free is part of our calling. God wants us as believers to heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead, and set the captives free. In Isaiah 58:6, he says, "Is this not the kind of fasting that I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice, untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free, and break every yoke?" In the original Hebrew, the word rendered oppressed refers to those whose souls are torn apart. That's what it means to be oppressed, to have your soul torn apart. In the very beginning, I didn't do it in this section, but I did it in my other teaching when I taught this. I gave a number of scriptures that talk about a person's soul, how a soul can be broken, how a soul can be torn, how a soul can be ripped apart, how a soul can be devoured, how a soul can be sought after, how a soul can be seduced. I mean, and there's tons of scriptures. Talks about, too, how your soul can thirst after God, how your soul can cleave to one another as a husband and a wife. Okay, so we're talking about then here the word oppress and how it shows that what it means is that a soul is torn apart. In this passage, we find a full range of deliverances from yokes of the devil to the bands of iniquity. The fragmented soul is ministered to. Now, this is how you're going to do that. The person that is fragmented is ministered to from the place where it's captive. In other words, from the place where it is found. The captive soul will see, hear, and feel everything that's happening in the place of its imprisonment. If it is taken to heavenly places, it will hear and feel everything happening to it in heaven and will enjoy its benefits. In Ephesians 2, 6, and 7, it says, God has raised us up with Christ, and this is spiritual realm, seated us with him. Are we not seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that through the coming of ages he might know the incomparable riches of his grace? Jesus took our captivity, seated us with him in heavenly places. But unfortunately, this does not happen automatically after we say, Lord, come into my heart. Everything that Jesus did gives us legal rights to it. Okay, so we have legal rights to everything that Jesus paid for on the cross, but we know that we have to lay hold of it, don't we? In other words, Jesus signed the check, but we have to cash it. Most people in the church today save the check for when they die, never enjoying the abundant life on the earth that Jesus purchased for them. God wants us to possess all the riches of his grace right now. God doesn't want you to wait to be free till you get to heaven. He doesn't want to wait for you to be healed till you get to heaven. We need to operate in wholeness now, because we're not going to be out there working the gospel, manifesting the kingdom of God on the earth once we're there. We're to do that now. And you know how impossible it is if you're not whole to do this? See, so right there, common sense would tell us that, wouldn't it? Jesus took our captivity captive and seated us in heavenly places. He gave us the victory so we can leave our captivity without opposition. He opened the way for each part of the soul to be established in heavenly places with him. Isaiah 49, 8 through 10 says, "In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. I will preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people to restore the earth, to cause them to inherit the desolate heritages, that you may say to the prisoner," now it's time that we go after our heritage that we've been stolen. It says that you may say to the prisoner, that we can go tell those who are in captivity, go forth, and to those who are in darkness, show yourself. They shall feed along the roads, and their pastures shall be on all desolate heights. They shall neither hunger nor thirst, neither heat nor sun shall strike them, for he who has mercy on them shall lead them by springs of water, and he will guide them. In this passage, God has sent us to set the captives free, to restore the earth, to call the prisoners to come out, and to tell those who are in darkness to show themselves. In other words, when we pray for people with this, we call them out of the darkness. And it's amazing some of the experiences and the stories we have. We don't go into all this stuff and explain to them what's going to happen to them like I've given you these scriptures. We begin to walk them out and they begin to experience these types of things. And people have different degrees of bondages, different degrees of captivity. Okay, some are not as severe as others. You saw that in those pictures. Some had very severe breakage and some not. In this passage, okay, let me go here. Each part of the soul, then, the part that's captive, must be established in heavenly places. Our character, our will, our emotions, the sexual areas of our lives, our thoughts, and every captive fragment. We must surrender our souls to Jesus and to be ministered from heaven piece by piece. In other words, in every area where you deal with issues in your life. Some of the things even as of late that we've dealt with would be people who were held in captivity to sexual bondage or abuse or severe rejection. In every one of those places, after we walk them through deliverance, we take them out of those places of captivity. I had a young girl one time that she constantly had been, she was violated as a young child, not real young, but as a teen. And from that point on, men took advantage of her. She was always being taken advantage of, and she hated that. She absolutely hated it. She felt defiled. She felt shame. She felt guilt. And she came for prayer, and we prayed a couple of times. She was always depressed, always felt worthless. And I prayed with her. I actually prayed with her a couple of times, and she was one. Now, when I pray with somebody, and I get their history so I know where to go to do deliverance. And if things don't start moving and the person wants to be free, sometimes people will come and play games with you. Let me tell you, we know how to discern that. We're learning that really fast to discern that. But when you've got a person that comes and they really want to be free and you're hitting the wall, then there's something else going on there. There's a place of captivity, a brokenness. So after two sessions with her, and only getting her somewhat better, I knew that I needed to go into those places. Because when somebody comes, I don't want to get them somewhat better. We want to walk them into that place of wholeness because that's what we need to do with them. So I began to walk her out of captivity. And I'm going to show you guys how to do this. But she was sitting in a chair. And I said, okay, we're going to get up and come out of this place of sexual bondage where you are being used constantly by men. And so I took her by the hands and she couldn't get out of the chair. She kept trying and trying to get out of the chair. I had to finally pick her up and get her out of that chair. And she was heavy. She felt like dead weight. And I said, come on, get up, walk with me. We're going to come out of this place. So this way you need two people because two is easier to get them up and get them going. When that happens, we've had that happen more than once where they've literally locked down on us. So I got her up and she began to walk with me like this. And the more we walked out of the captivity and broke the shackles and the chains that held her and commanded that which was holding her down to release her, she was able to stand up straight. And she told me later, and she got free. And again, like I'm saying, that is why when the deliverance wasn't working, I knew we had to take her out of captivity. She told me, she said there was like this big black, like an animal that was sitting on her and she couldn't get up. And that's why when we got her up and made that thing remove that thing, she was able to come out of that place. But what it showed you is that was a demonic spirit trying to hold her captive, but we have authority over those things. And even that young girl had, that's why I said, get up. You are going to move forward because by a choice of her will, she did not have to stay captive. You do not have to stay in captivity. You can be free because it is your life, your will, and Jesus Christ has already paid for you to be free. So you don't have to stay in the position you are in. You need to get up and come out of those places. Okay. Again, like I said, each part of the soul needs to be established in heavenly places. Every healing miracle or deliverance that's done in the spiritual realm, well, Jesus sought the direction of the Holy Spirit. And when we go in again, that's what we're doing, is flowing in the Spirit. Now, I'm going to tell you exactly how to do this. Now, this, when I, this teaching that I'm teaching you comes out of a book called Regions of Captivity by Anna Mendez. You can get the book. It's a tremendous book. It's a heavy book. It's a real heavy book. But it's a tremendous book. So I'm going to read to you how she says to take a person out of captivity. Okay, she said, not everyone is gifted prophetically to see the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. This is primarily because of erroneous teaching, belief systems. Remember what I said? If we were taught, you know how Norma tells us we can all be prophetic? She does, doesn't she? And we're like, oh, when she first came, you know, now we believe it. But when she first came, we're like, okay, Norma, you can, but I don't think I can do this. You felt like that when, especially when she'd put you in that circle. And then she'd say, now turn around, shift. And you're going, ah! And the person looking at you is waiting for you to do something, but they're not doing any better than you were. So at least we're all in the same boat. But that's been our teaching, hasn't it? See, God is changing some things for our belief system, because God's moving us out into these realms to learn how to set captives free. But like she said, this is primarily because of erroneous teaching. The truth is, anyone who has the Holy Spirit can enter the prophetic dimensions necessary to achieve deliverance. So we can do this. Say, I can do this. Come on, one more time. I can do this. The Holy Spirit is inherently prophetic. Therefore, there is no such thing as having the Holy Spirit and not being able to have these manifestations. That is why the teaching that you can only operate in some of the gifts and some of the gifts you can't. If you got the Holy Ghost, He's got the gifts. They're all resident within you. And if He needs them and you would yield to Him, He can do whatever He wants, can He? All nine gifts are resident in this person right here and in all of you, if you are baptized in the Holy Ghost. Okay, in Acts 2, 17 and 18, it says, in the last days, God said, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit and they will prophesy. I mean, you're a prophet, but you can prophesy. Everyone who is Spirit-filled has the prophetic anointing. So if you have the Spirit of God, then you can develop this ability. See, we develop in the gifts of the Spirit. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed. So we increase as we operate and get into teaching on how to flow in the Holy Spirit. The captivity of a person is discovered by listening to the individual. In other words, listen to our, even like if you did it on yourself, what do you go through? Allow the Holy Spirit through the word and knowledge and prophecy to show you the specific region of captivity. If you are unable to see the spirit world, do the deliverance by faith. Simply apply the truth established in Isaiah 49. Say to the captive, come out. You can say that to yourself. I say to you, Bev Tucker, come out of the darkness. I cut the chains off. I break them off. And say, come out of the darkness and show yourself. Now, the first time I read this, and I read this book, and I thought, oh my goodness, this is amazing stuff. And I have given you script. I didn't even give you all the scriptures because I feel like sometimes I'm wearing you out with this because it's so late. Normally, we do this on Saturday. We got more time. But I've given you tons of scriptures. Everything is backed up with the scriptures. So when I realized that this was something that I could incorporate with deliverance to help people, my first thought was, but I don't think I'm that prophetic. See, again, mindsets, belief systems. But I thought, I don't think I'm that prophetic, God. But I know I can do it by faith. So I said, I'm going to do this by faith. Because I knew how to operate there, okay? Because I come out of faith camps, so I've had a lot of that preached at me. See, so it's what you're being taught. So I said, I know that I can do this by faith. And I had ministered then, I told you this last week, but I had ministered to a young woman who dealt with a lot of anxiety and a lot of panic. And I had actually done deliverance on her twice and could get her nowhere either. Got her a little bit free, but like, you know, and she was a good friend of mine and her family was. So I took my paper. This is a true story. I was in the mother's room back there. So I took this paper and I laid it on the little changing table there so I could read it as I'm doing this, because I thought, I don't know if I'm going to remember to do this right. So I followed directions, but I walked her out of captivity and she got radically free. It was amazing. She was not able to take tests without panicking and freezing. That I did this, I think, on a Monday. Wednesday, she had to take a test. She had no problem. First time. See, that is a person coming out of that place of captivity. And you can do that. You can walk people out. So I said, okay, Lord, I will do it by faith. So I went in. I already knew what she was going through. So I didn't have to ask her those questions. But I just went in and I said, we're going to begin to walk you out of that place of captivity. And she said, I asked the person, this is what she says in the paper, I asked the person to feel the place of imprisonment. I concentrate in the spirit and say that I am standing in front of the prison where you are trapped, and I'm going to open the door. Then I take the person by the hands and raise them up from the chair as if they were leaving that place, and I walk them through that process. And I make sure that that person knows we are leaving that place of captivity. She says, sometimes captive souls are afraid to leave, are fearful, and the devil will do something to try to hinder them. That was like when I told you when that one young girl, I couldn't get her up. And I was just talking to somebody else today. I guess they had the same thing. But it was like the enemy endeavored to hold them down. Sometimes it's like the devil has got this mindset or attitude that, you know, I've had this one for so long and you're not going to have them. It's like, I don't think so. I don't think so. So that person can get up and come out. The reason I say this, I don't care where you're at. You don't have to stay held by the enemy. We have walked people out of pornography. We have walked people out of depression. We have walked people out of certain sicknesses. And we did this one time and a woman's leg was healed that was numb for 10 years. She got up and walked out of captivity, not realizing her leg was going to be healed. And as she walked out of captivity, her leg was completely restored. Amazing things. Awesome stuff. So she says she gets the person up, commands them to take control of the situation, reminds them that they are in complete control of their own will, and the devil has no power over their free will. And yeah, that's basically what she said. Then after she does that, she says after she gets them out, she and they feel they're out, she establishes them in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And what you're doing when you're doing that is the person that was locked in that prison, that little jail that you took out of there, because that's what you did. That person, you know what, Tim, put that picture up again. That person that's in that prison, literally, okay, there he is, and the devil's beating on him and hitting on him with all the negative emotions. What we do is that we enter the spirit realm, we unlock that door. That prison he's locked in, we unlock it. I have the key. So do you. It's the name of Jesus. You see, we unlock that door, and we get them up and take them out of there so they don't have to stay in that prison any longer. All right? So we're going to do that tonight. And no matter what area that you may have, some places that you're in captivity, if you want to come out tonight, you can come out. Now, you may have more than one area, but let's deal with whatever, okay? So tonight we're going to pray. And if you'll participate, this will work for you. If not, we've even had people have financial breakthrough doing this. I mean, it's been amazing. When I started doing this, I said, okay, there were a couple things I was believing the Lord for that I felt real hindered in. So I just said, okay, God, I'm just unlocking this door, and I'm getting out of there. I'm coming out. I'm coming out. I'm just coming out of that place of captivity. I cut off any chains, anything that the enemy's trying to do to hold me back. I break that in the name of Jesus, and I come out of there. You see, you can come out. You don't have to walk all over, but it's good for you to do that. Because it's like that way you are moving yourself out of there. Okay, so I want you to close your eyes. I just want you to close your eyes. And I want you to let yourself feel the pain. I want you to let yourself feel maybe the hopelessness, the depression, the torment, the despair that you've been in. I want you to let yourself feel the fear that you've dealt with. Maybe you've got a bad report from the doctor and it's traumatized you. Let yourself feel that because God wants to take you out of there. That fear has endeavored to put you in a place of captivity. Let yourself feel the abuse or the rejection, the abandonment, the sexual perversion, the guilt or the shame. You might have shame. You might feel like you've done wrong. Remember what Evelyn said in Isaiah 53, he said he took your consequences. So if you're bearing the consequence and you've repented, you can come out of that. In the name of Jesus, right now, we break agreement with all worthlessness, with all injustice. And with the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, I unlock every prison in this room right now, tonight, in the name of Jesus. I unlock every demonic prison that any person is in the name of Jesus. I unlock that with the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And right now, even as I'm doing this, I want you to know, keep your eyes closed, but I want you to know that angels are walking through this place, unlocking these doors so you can come out. We prayed before, we called in literal angels to gather in this place, and angels will literally unlock these doors, these prisons, these gates for you to come out. So in the name of Jesus, I unlock this prison and I say by faith, get up by a choice of your will, get up and come out of there. I want you to get up, rise up and walk out in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith, get up and come out in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, I am coming out. I am coming out of the rejection. I'm coming out of the darkness. I'm coming out of the bitterness in the name of Jesus. I come out of all the rejection. I come out of all that self-accusation, that torment where day and night you deal with accusations against yourself in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus. Say, I'm coming out. I come out of that place of hopelessness. I come out where there's even, I unlock you from that prison of drug abuse and addiction in the name of Jesus. And by faith, I take you out. We take you out of the places of iniquity where you've had generational things coming up through your bloodline. Come out from there. He said, I'll give you back the inheritance, but you've got to take it back. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, walk yourself even out of places of consequence where you're dealing with consequence from things from your past, things that have happened in your past. Come forth, I say, come out of the darkness. Come forth out of that place of captivity. I call you out of that place in the name of Jesus.
I call you out of that place of confusion. In the name of Jesus, that place of not knowing what to do, fearing that you cannot hear the voice of God. In the name of Jesus, you come forth out of that place of darkness and despair. In the name of Jesus, I call you forth out of that place of anguish. In the name of Jesus, all that torment of the soul, you come forth out of that place of captivity. I cut off those cords and shackles that every time you tried to step forward, it yanked you back into that place of captivity. We cut those off in the name of the Lord, and we command them to be dissolved and undone in the name of Jesus.
We break every shackle I cut every cord in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord, I say, come out of those places of sexual abuse in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord. Now you will be free as you get up and come out. Walk out of there. Don't let the enemy hold you captive. Say, I am coming out in the name of Jesus. That feeling of destitution. I say, come out of places of poverty and lack. In the name of Jesus, where you have your finances continually in a cycle, go up and down and up and down. And lately they've been more down than they've been up. Bring your finances up out of that prison, out of that place of darkness where the enemy endeavors to hold you. Say, devil, we are coming out. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, come out of those places of witchcraft. Come out of the place of occult, that fear of the occult. I bind right now a spirit of deception in this place, in the name of Jesus. And I say, come out of that place of deception, in the name of Jesus.
I call you out of that place of captivity to debt. In the name of Jesus, you walk forth and you come out of that place of captivity that every time you thought you got your head above water, you got caught in that net of debt again. You come forth out of that prison of debt in the name of Jesus.
Come out of that place. There's parents in this room and you so feel like you have so messed up with your children. Get up and take your children out of that. By faith, say, I'm taking myself, I'm taking my children out of all the consequences of my past. In the name of Jesus, say, we are coming out. I cut cords off. I take what the enemy has endeavored to hold you in captivity, and he's actually held that, use that as an avenue to attack your children. Say, tonight, we are coming out in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord. Be bold and come forth in the name of Jesus. I call you out of the darkness in Jesus' name. I say, come out of that dark place in Jesus' name. Loose God's people. I break off drug addiction in the name of Jesus and the consequences of it. I come against right now a spirit of discord in marriages and divorce in the name of Jesus. And where literally you have been held in marital discord, get up and come out of that place in the name of Jesus. I break off and I bind every spirit of division in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord, I break off those spirits of divorce in Jesus' name. And I call your marriage out of there in Jesus' name.
I call you out of that place of devastation in the name of Jesus. You come forth out of that prison of devastation in the name of Jesus. And I call you forth out of that prison of fear in the name of Jesus. I break the rod of the oppressor over you that has tormented you in the name of Jesus. I call you, I cut off the bondage of fear. I cut off that servitude of fear. I command the works of fear to be undone in your life, and I pull you forth out of that place of darkness now, and I call you into the marvelous light in the name of Jesus.
I break off right now and I call you out of that place of where you are in like a stupor and a daze because of drugs that you take medically. In the name of Jesus, I cut you free. I break those cords off in the name of Jesus. And I say, come out of that stupor. Come out of that oppression in the name of Jesus. Come out of that place of darkness, that place of depression in the name of Jesus, that place where you have been held. Literally, it goes back into your generations. Your parents were held. Your grandparents were held. And I say, come forth out of that in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord, out of all of that depression, out of that oppression, in the name of Jesus. Say, I'm taking myself out. I'm taking my offspring out. I break off that generational iniquity in the name of the Lord. Can I say, come forth in Jesus' name. Come out of the fear. Come out of the fear of the future in the name of Jesus. I say, come out of that fear where you're tormented that you're going to fall again. And there's a voice of accusation against you all the time saying, just wait, it's only going to be a little bit of time and you're going to fall again. That thing that keeps pulling you back into sin, that thing that keeps reminding you of sin, reminding you of your past. In the name of Jesus, I command that voice to silence and I say, come forth. That thing that is literally because of your past held you from your call in the Lord, your ministry call, your destiny. I break those chains, I break the shackles, and I say, come out of that place of captivity where the enemy's design has been held against you. Come forth to your God-given destiny in the name of Jesus.
I call you forth out of that prison of hell on earth. You come forth now in the name of Jesus. We hold the keys to the kingdom in the name of Jesus. And we use those keys to unlock that prison of hell in the name of Jesus. We pull you out in the name of Jesus.
I command you to come out from those lying voices. I break the power of witchcraft in the name of Jesus. I break the authority of witchcraft off your mind and your soul. I cut the linkings. I cut off all the communication between your soul and witchcraft in the name of Jesus. And I call your soul out of the darkness. We take you back. In the name of the Lord, where you literally almost by a choice of your will stepped over into areas that you knew were wrong, knew were areas of witchcraft, and now you're literally locked into that. I say, devil, loose them, give them up, let them go in the name of Jesus. I call you out of that pit. I call you out of that hole in the name of Jesus. I unlock the dungeon in Jesus' name, and I say, come forth in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus.
I call you forth out of that prison, that place of captivity, of infirmity, in the name of Jesus, of that weakness, of that frailty, of that sickness and disease. Come out of that prison of diabetes. Come out of that prison of cancer. Come out of that prison of that report of the doctors, in the name of Jesus. Come out of that prison, that report of that x-ray, in the name of Jesus. You come forth out of that place of captivity, of that diagnosis, in the name of Jesus.
I command you to come out of that place of hopelessness in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord, where you feel hopeless that things are even going to change in your life, where they've gone on this way for so long that you've given up hope that things can be different for you, that you can be free. I say to come out of that place of hopelessness. I unlock that prison and I say, come out into the name of Jesus. Come to that place of faith in the name of Jesus. Come out of the darkness in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Come out of that place of captivity in Jesus' name. You come out in Jesus' name. All that discouragement, you come out of that place. Walk out of that dark place. Get up and walk out of that dark place of discouragement. Come on out. Come on out. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Walk out of that place. All the discouragement, all that depression, all the I command all that disaster to come out. Walk out of that place of defeat in Jesus' name. Come out of that place of defeat. Come out of that place of living low. Come out of that place in Jesus' name. Come out of that place that you've been spiritually locked in Jesus' name. We unlock the keys, for the Lord Jesus Christ has paid the price and shed his blood that you'd be set free. And we now say, come into that place that the Lord Jesus Christ has paid the price for. Come into that place. Walk out of that captivity. No longer allow yourself to be held by the bonds of darkness. No longer allow yourself to be bound by demonic forces that have no power and have no authority. Walk out of that place. Choose today, for the price has been paid. You choose today to walk out of that place. And we declare in Jesus' name that these people have been set free. We declare that the price has been paid. And we declare in Jesus' name, we cut those cords. And we declare that any demonic rights are broken. We declare in Jesus' name, the people of God shall walk in the fullness and the freedom of the Most High God. They shall no longer be bound. come. And we break the hold of sin off of your life. And we call you out of that place of captivity. And even that thing that draws you back into sin over and over again, we call you out of that place of sin. We call you out of that place of shame and defeat in the name of Jesus.
There's husbands and wives in here that you need to get with your husband and your wife, and you need to take your families out of captivity. You need to, some of you need to take your businesses out of captivity. Some of you need to take your health out of captivity, but you need to join together and get up by faith and begin to take areas of your life out in the name of Jesus. To walk your children out. Walk your family. You're the heads of your home. You're the patriarchs and the matriarchs. And by faith, step into that spirit realm and begin to take your children out. Begin to take your finances, your businesses, out of places where the enemy wants to lock them up and steal, kill, and destroy from you. In the name of Jesus. Now I unlock these prisons. And I say in the name of Jesus, get up and come out of that darkness. Come out of that place of captivity in the name of Jesus. I command right now that the enemy loose the covenant children of God in the name of Jesus. I command right now the children of the godly to be loosed in the name of Jesus. I command the businesses of the godly to be loosed. I call those businesses out of the darkness, out of that prison in the name of Jesus, out from that devouring spirit in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I call you out in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord. Some of you are still sitting there. You need to do something. I know a woman who took her house out of foreclosure by doing this. I know a dentist in town here whose business was going down, and he took his business out of that place of where the enemy was constantly, had come up from his generations, stealing business from him. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I loose you in Jesus' name. I loose your bodies to walk in health and wholeness in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord, say, I am taking my husband, my wife, out of this infirmity, out of this place of death, out of this place of paralyzing fear. In the name of Jesus, say, we are coming out. We are coming out by a choice of our will. Devil, you can hold us no longer. And by faith, we come out. I break the chains. I break the cords. I cut off shackles in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, we are coming out in the name of Jesus.
I pull you out of that place of captivity to worthlessness and insignificance in the name of Jesus. You come out of that place in the name of Jesus where you don't matter in the name of Jesus, where you get everything you think you deserve. You come out of that place of inadequacy in the name of Jesus, of ineptness in the name of Jesus. You come out in the name of Jesus.
I take you out of that place of heroin use. I unlock that prison of heroin right now in the name of Jesus. Where there's someone here that's been held captive with heroin, in the name of Jesus, I cut off that spirit. I cut off its cords. I take it out of the spinal cord in the name of Jesus. I break that addiction and I say, come forth out of that place of addiction. In the name of Jesus, I loose you with the authority of Jesus Christ. I set you free in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, I want you to, right now, we're going to take every person as you've walked out of that place of captivity, and we're going to pray and establish you in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Those parts that were locked up. So, Father, right now, I ask God that you would take every person, every area of their lives, God, that we're in captivity, Lord. And Father, we establish, God, these people, we establish, God, them in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And Lord, I ask God right now in the name of Jesus that all of heaven would minister healing into the areas of all these various areas, Lord. Holy Spirit, Minister healing into these places. Minister your blessing, oh God, into these places. Minister your wholeness and your healing into all these places, oh God. Reintegrate, God, any place where any person was broken, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask, oh Rabba Sikata Lomostara, oh Rahashata Mungere Hesta, Ilabohota, Hesala Mahasa, Ulevihi Sharanumokandiri Ita, Elahasarumokata Labostara, oh Holy Spirit, heal into those places. Bring restoramosata hashata mondare hesta brumata librusta evo shatananakatariasto orakata inamasata orabashata lorde behesa ganamahasubiata mehista rotarakata. Bring them into that place of fullness and wholeness, O God, within their lives, Father. God, restore. Let every injustice be broken, God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, God, we cry out for justice, God, in Jesus' name. Father and God, I close those prison doors. Every door where they came out, God, we slam the door of those prisons and we lock them tonight. And we seal them closed with the name and the blood of Jesus. And we say that they will never have to go back into those places again in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Father, we exalt you. We worship you, O Holy Spirit of God. We exalt you, Jesus. You are the healer, Lord. You are the deliverer, Lord Jesus. We exalt you in this place. And Father, tonight we believe, God, that homes and families will be restored, that, Father, businesses will be prospered. We believe, oh God, tonight that marriages will be restored, oh God. We believe, God, that where there was sickness, God, that you will bring healing into their bodies and quicken and make them alive by the Spirit of God that dwells within them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray and declare destiny into every single person. I loose them to walk in their God-given destiny in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray that, God, they would have hope again, that they would hope in you, knowing, God, that you will meet. God, give them revelation of the covenant that you've brought them into, Lord. Visit them in the night. Give them dreams, oh God. Give them visions, Father, in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. Bless your people, God, in Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Hallelujah.